T-shirts in here. You are looking like
it. I didn't know you got.
Did you guys? Yeah, I apologize. Did you guys get one of those CDs from the from Brother Biano? Oh, I got to get you one this weekend. I'll tell you when he gets back in here. I'll tell you why. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Let's pick up in verse number 11. We left off last week with verse 10. And verse number 11 says this: wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Now that one will preach. In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider, God hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All right, so we're going to go back here to verse number 11, but Brother Paul,
yes, sir.
I got to get you one of those CDs from the Bionos, a CD from Steadfast. You know why? They got the song on there, "I'm going to have a new body one of these days." And I thought of you, and I was listening to that this week, and I said, I'm going to get them up here for a revival, and I'm going to have them sing it every night, and I'm going to get Brother Paul that CD. Ain't that great? I knew you'd be happy about that. So don't let me forget this weekend, girls. I got to grab them a CD for Brother Paul, all right? So that was his theme song. You just started getting sick, right? When the Lacey family came and sung that song, you just started getting sick. And then he hasn't heard it since then, so... See, I think about you throughout the week, and it's not all bad things. How about that? All right, we're going to try to hook you up this weekend. You're welcome. All right, so verse number 11 there. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there's profit to them that see the sun. Now, this guy right here is totally different than the idiot who takes his inheritance and wastes it. We've talked a lot, and I believe very, very strongly, and I think it's even biblically based or in biblical principle, that people don't appreciate something they don't work for. I would say that's going to be true 99% of the time. Out of 100 people, 99% of them, 99 out of 100, if they haven't worked for it, they don't appreciate it. There's a level of appreciation and respect you have for things that you paid a price to get. And that's the trouble with leaving an inheritance. That's the trouble with somebody getting a bunch of something that they didn't work for, but somebody else did. And the bizarre thing about that is that the Bible says a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Well, that means he was a good man. That means he worked hard and earned some things. That doesn't mean his children or his children's children were good men or that they deserved it. It just means that they happened, by the grace and goodness of God, to be brought into this world by a man who worked hard and was smart and left him something. But the thing of it is this: just because you've received an inheritance doesn't mean you're wrong. Has something been given to you that you didn't work for? Sure. That doesn't mean you're an idiot. You come into a church like this where there's a whole lot of history. There's a whole lot of details. I mean, my goodness, if I tried to start talking about it, we'd be here all night talking about how God, like Brother Dan said when he prayed, how his hand's been in it and how he's directed and how, you know, just amazing things have happened and so much water has gone under the bridge. And then, but there's an appreciation level that you have when you're there in the early stages or whatever stage you came. See, if you've come in the later stages, but you see this addition go down, and you see all that goes into it, and you're here for it, the more you put some skin in the game, the more appreciation you have for what you got, right? But that doesn't mean that somebody walking in that wasn't here at the beginning is just a second-class member or doesn't appreciate the ministry or doesn't appreciate what they've been given. These kids are coming up in Sunday school. By the grace of God, if this thing keeps going the way it's been going, they're going to have something in the next 15, 20 years. Some of you that got the little kids in Sunday school and heading towards the youth group age, sooner or later your grandkids are going to be here. I hope to God they don't just take for granted what they've been given. They've been handed something that they didn't work for. We all have to some extent. And he says this: wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there's profit to them that see the sun. The difference between this guy and the waster is that he appreciates the things he's been given. So if you've got wisdom and then you've been handed something that you didn't work for, you're going to take that thing that you've been handed and it's going to be a really good thing. That's the purpose of leaving something behind. That's the purpose of giving somebody that you love something that they didn't work for. The purpose is because you want to see them go farther than you went, right? I do everything in my power to take what God teaches me and has taught me and what my wife and I both do, what we've learned, and we try very hard to instill some of those things in the heads of our children. And it's a funny process to see, because I can think back just a little bit, just 5 years ago, and questions that my children were asking. But they weren't yet ready to get the answer, my older ones specifically. So I would give them an answer that would help them where they're at, but I would tell them and encourage them, keep talking to me about this. Keep asking me these questions, because there's a lot more I have to show you. Okay, Daddy, and they're gone. They're off playing. And then they get a little bit older and they come and ask the same question. It's like, okay, come here, sit down for a second. Let me show you this verse compared with this verse. I mean, you let them start getting into Greek mythology in high school. Truth is not intimidated by error. I don't have to cloister my kids and homeschool them and make sure that I protect and shelter and drive them down the road with blinders on so they don't see billboard signs and be panicked, because I got the truth. Don't worry about them brainwashing my children. No, no, no. You plant truth in them, and they get saved by the grace of God, and they got the Holy Spirit in them. And when they see and hear that truth, that error, the truth that's in them is going to wire up, man. It's going to be triggered. Now, you know, what if they backslide? Well, what if they get sheltered their whole life and resent you for it, and when they turn 18, they go hog wild? I got 1,000 stories on that for you, too. People make the decisions they want to make, period. So truth ain't intimidated by error. So you put them in there, you start getting into Greek mythology, and then you start showing them some things that, you know, they didn't work to learn that stuff. I did. And I'll gladly hand them what God has showed me. Why? Because if they're wise, they'll take what I give them, and they'll go farther than I've gone in my life. You know what would please me immensely? Please me immensely to see my daughters marry good young men, and God allow me to influence them. Should I be the kind of man that can do that? Should I walk with God in a way where when I'm at that point, I still have that influence and have that relationship with the Lord, that I have something to give them? I would love to see them take what I give them and go farther in their life than I went. Because wisdom is good with an inheritance. Somebody gives you something that they earned, then don't be an idiot. You don't owe anybody on this planet an apology, whether it be monetary or spiritual or anything in between. You owe nobody on this planet an apology. Well, you didn't work for that. Well, you're just jealous, so shut up and get out of here, man. Ain't my problem. Your sin problems in your heart ain't my problem. Hit the road. And you're right, I didn't. But thank God somebody else did, and they loved me, and they left it to me. And since I've got it, it's precious, because I know what somebody I love paid to get it. Anybody drawing any parallels? Your salvation, get it? Somebody you love paid something dearly to give you something that you didn't even necessarily deserve. Now, if you're wise, that inheritance, it's going to work real good for you. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. And by it, there is profit to them that see the Son. By what? By the package of wisdom and inheritance. By being given something and being wise with what you've been given. Learn, 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 learn. Make it your business to have wisdom. Why? Look at verse 12. For wisdom is a defense. See that? And money is a defense. You better believe it is. You don't think money is a defense? You better believe money is a defense. That's why rich men, powerful men, can be bulls in a china shop everywhere they go. Why? Because they're safe. What are you going to do? Sue me? Fine. I'll hire a better lawyer than you can hire. I'll get off. How much you want? Here, take your $20,000 and walk away. We'll settle out of court. Get out of here. Wisdom's a defense, man. Guys got money? I mean, money's a defense. Guys got money? You'll notice they're not afraid of much. other than losing their money. If they got the wrong heart, they're afraid of losing their money. But outside of that, wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. But watch this. But the excellency of knowledge is, the excellency of knowledge. So there's knowledge, but there's excellency of knowledge. You gotta meditate on his precepts. You gotta let some things sink in. You can't speed read everything and say you read your Bible this morning and God spoke to your heart. What did he say? Well, he said, thanks for reading your Bible. I don't know. What did he say? The excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. All right? So there's different kinds of knowledge. Wisdom will keep you safe. Money will keep you safe. But the excellency of knowledge. So what's that talking about? Well, not all knowledge is good knowledge. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Keep your finger here or a marker here in Ecclesiastes. We'll come back in a minute. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Can I tell you that it's perfectly all right for you to be dumb about some stuff? We're talking about knowledge. We're talking about gaining knowledge. Talking about having wisdom. You know, there's some things it's absolutely okay. It is not a shame for you to say, what are they talking about? Oh, what does that mean? And let everybody in the room laugh at you. You know what that means? Oh. Second Timothy 3, look at verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Why? Well, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, no self-control. Talked about that anger thing last week. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. They'll hate you for doing right. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Why? For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts. So you go from all these sins of a lack of the right spirit. I mean, look at all the sins of a bad spirit. Lovers of their own selves. Well, you're filled with that today. Filled with it. That's what drives and motivates selfies. There's nothing else that would motivate a selfie. But what? Is it a lack of selfishness? I'm not a narcissist. Yeah, you are. That's why you'd post a selfie. You love yourself. You're covetous. Boasting. Boy, we're full of that nowadays. I mean, just boasting like crazy. Guy learned this is a good illustration. Forgive me for it, please, but I got to use it because it is so typical of this generation we're in nowadays. This heady, high-minded, boasting. This kid came into our school, and he's trying to, you know, trying to be a tough guy. And so he had, you know, if you got a nice attitude, everybody's nice. But if you come in thinking you're all that, you know, then people are going to match in kind, right? So everybody's just, after a few classes, everybody's just smashing him. So then he starts saying, well, that's just because we're not doing stand-up. I'll take any of you guys in stand-up. Which is, you know, striking art. So since this is grappling, then you guys are grapplers. So the coach is sitting there and he's getting mischievous and he's going, so can you take Skinny Mike? He's like, what do you train? Skinny Mike says, I'm a black belt in Taekwondo. He said, no problem. Taekwondo guy can't stand up with me. He goes, can you take Pastor Mike? He goes, well, I don't know. What is he? What kind of striking art does he? He's like, he's a boxer. He said, boxers are tough, probably, but we'd see. He wouldn't knock me out for sure. He said, oh, he wouldn't, huh? Okay. So could you take me? That's the coach. The coach was a professional MMA fighter and a professional grappler. He says, well, no, probably not, but you can't knock me out. I'll give you a hard time. Well, he keeps running his mouth. So within that week, this is the point I'm making. So we said, so we're all kind of like gathered around just picking on him and just making fun of him and laughing at him behind his back and stuff. And I said, well, what do you train? He said, look-see-doo. We're looking at each other like, look-see-doo, man, I never heard of that. Have you ever heard of that? Like, no, man. What's look-see-doo? He said, I look at it on YouTube, I see what they do, and I do it, and I'm really good. You're laughing. He was serious. I said, well, how many times have you sparred? Like 100%, like 100% effort, like all-out spar. He said, oh, I don't know, a few. I said, well, how many? Guess. Just give me a guess. He said, I don't know, probably 19 or 20. I said, 19 or 20. He said, yes, that's your sparring sessions in your whole life. Well, yeah. I said, okay, so then who, 19 or 20, that's like a week. That's like 1 week of training for a professional. And I'm like, all right, so then like, who'd you spar with? Professional fighters or amateur fighters or, oh, this guy's in my neighborhood. They're pretty tough. Nobody can knock me out. I said, you know, man, you probably might want to throttle it back just a little bit. YouTube generation. Heady, high-minded, you watch a bunch of videos and now you think you're something you're not. Not tuned into reality at all. Tuned into yourself so much and your view of yourself so much that you're about to get yourself killed and you don't know it. So then I came into class a few days after that and coach was like, hey, Mike, you know what happened? I said, what? He said, look-see-doo, we put on the gloves. He said, we got started. He starts messing around. I'm looking at him. I'm watching him. I took one body shot. He puked everywhere, all the way across the mats, ran to the bathroom puking, came back out, and I said, come on, let's go. And he sat down against the wall and was ashing. He said, I'm good. I'm good. No, we haven't seen him since. Can I just say, look, see, dude, don't work. You heady, high-minded, foolish YouTube, social media generation, lacking reality, lacking any sacrifice, lacking any pain and pressure. You've just gotten an inheritance. Somebody handed you all this knowledge on YouTube, but you don't know what to do with it. Because you've never had to apply it. There's about a billion things that you just don't know, even if you can stand there and say, well, the footwork has to be like this, and then you have to relax, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. There's a billion things you haven't programmed in your brain, even though you know all the facts right. And you're going to get killed. And that's the generation that we're in. This is all these sins of the spirit coming all the way down. And then in verse 6, if your heart stays wrong long enough, it creeps into the lust of the flesh, and the actions of the body. Then look at verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. The excellency of knowledge is. So there's a lot of knowledge out there. You can be learning and learning and learning and learning, and you got the generation of the information highway. You can just, at your thumb tips, you can just turn yourself into a medical doctor just like that. I mean, you can Google a symptom, trickle of blood out of the left nostril, tasting blood in the right side of the throat. What do I have? I have an aneurysm. I looked it up online. You go to the doctor, and you're like, I know I have an aneurysm because I Googled it. I got to wonder if medical doctors, everybody says that they're so horrible and they don't have any bedside manners. If you could actually have one situation where we follow one around all day and he said everything he was actually thinking, I wonder just exactly what that day would be like. You know, how many years and hundreds, thousands and tens of thousands of hours they spend studying? And you got the Google generation that's going to walk in there and tell them exactly what's going on. Ever learning. We got it all. We know it all. We know it all the time. And never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's where we're at. It's a sign of the end times. Go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. That's why I'm thankful we didn't tune into sermon audio any earlier, and I kind of wish we'd have waited maybe 10 more years from now till we started. You say, what's why? Well, my mind's working. I'll have to catch you up with what I mean. You get in the ministry, and you get an open Bible, and you get through Bible school, and you know all the doctrine and know all the facts, and you get in the pulpit, and you just start ranting and raving and then sending it out there to try to promote yourself and get that thing going and get views and listens and likes, but you ain't 40, 50, 60, specifically 50, 60 yet. And there's just 100,000 things it's not the excellency of knowledge yet. A lot of knowledge. But you go, you know what, that should have been said differently. And that shouldn't have been said in that way and at that time and to that group. And there's so much, folks, so much to learning the Lord and growing in the Lord and learning our Bibles and knowing our doctrine and knowing how to approach people. I hate the fact that I got stuff from back in 2012 out there. I don't listen to it because I don't want to get depressed. And I know in 10 more years I'm going to feel the same thing. I thank God we didn't do this whole social media thing and put videos out there all the time. I don't want to have to face that 20 years from now when I'm old and gray-haired, my skin's wrinkly. I don't want to have to look at those stupid YouTube videos out there, all the dumb things I said. Amen. 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 We got too many people knowing too much, running their mouths too often. Romans chapter 16, verse 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. Watch it. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, that's the excellency of knowledge, and simple concerning evil. Paul said, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. We have a generation where if you're simple concerning evil, it's considered a shame even among the church. I mean, I know the world's going to mock us for being simple concerning evil, but nowadays it's like you're getting made fun of in youth group and you're getting kind of laughed at and sneered at by your, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ if you don't know. Okay, well. And that's like accepted and funny to have a dirty mind. It's accepted and funny for everything to have a double meaning and an innuendo. And if you don't guys, went over his head, okay, well, you just complimented him. He's probably got more wisdom than you got. And while you're running around polluting your mind and getting your brain all dirtied up by this world, and by, while I'm at it, the music of this world. You don't need all that junk in your head. What do you need? You need good music in your car. That's why when these guys come with CDs, I tell you to get them. Why? It'll get your mind on the right things. Be wise unto that which is good. That's the excellency of knowledge. And simple concerning evil. I know all I need to know about evil. I know how to load a .357, I know how to load a .238, and I know how to load an AR. That's all I need. I keep my family safe, and I just mind my own business and just stay in my own world. That's what I want. I don't want to know. You know, it's going to get worse and worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving. Now, I'm not saying that you can keep yourself in the world, but not of it, from every little thing that's out there. And you got a generation where you can't isolate your kids, even if you kept them away from the internet 24/7 and locked them up in the house, take them to Walmart one time in the generation you're in, and they're going to be asking you questions about mommy, daddy, why are those two guys holding hands? Why are those two girls holding hands? So I'm not saying we should isolate ourselves, but I am saying I'll be glad to be simple concerning evil. Just keep it as simple as I can. I don't have to look into it. I don't have to research it. I'm not going home and looking up cults and trying to figure out all the, you know, what goes on with the Masons and the dark rooms and in the background and the skull and bones and all that stuff. You get a guy all obsessed with all that stuff and starts teaching you all that stuff and YouTube videos out there about all that stuff and YouTube videos out there about demonism and all the rest of that stuff. Why are you messing with that? Why are you wasting your time watching a video about demons? Why are you wasting your time watching a video about the occult? Why are you educating yourself on how and when and where they get their power and all the rest of that stuff? God doesn't want you wise about that. Drop it. Don't get obsessed with it. Let it go. Why? There's plenty of good things to study. I'd rather have the excellency of knowledge. Back in Genesis, don't go there, but back in Genesis chapter 2, what was the tree that the devil was in when he tried to tempt the woman? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was a tree God didn't want her eating from. He wanted them to have the knowledge of good, but not the knowledge of evil. 2 Chronicles, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Let's run some references here on some things to get knowledge about, wisdom about. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. I went to 1 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 1:10. He says, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great?" Well, that's a good request. Give me wisdom and knowledge. You know what every one of us should ask? I mean, a preacher, this one should be an obvious one for a preacher. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. Lord, give me the wisdom I need, the knowledge I need to be the kind of pastor, to walk in, to walk out, to pastor in a way that'll be a blessing, that'll be a help, that'll be under the control of God, that'll be for the betterment of the people that sit under my ministry. Amen. But how about you? Mom and dad? Okay, you're not a mom or a dad, but you got a job, don't you? You go in and out among the world. If you don't got a job, get a job, but you go in and out among the world. You got family members. You got people. Ask God for wisdom to know how to behave yourself. Knowledge to know how to behave yourself. You know what I find more and more entertaining as time goes on? Not being able to jump into the middle of a fight and finish it. That was my 30s, my 20s, my 30s for sure. You know what I find more and more entertaining now? When I get around somebody that wants to create a ruckus and I'm able to sidestep it and get out of there with just avoid the confrontation. Get around that kind of people that is trying to start trouble and just learn by the grace of God how to appease that thing and just stop it and just end it. And just make them feel stupid for even trying with a smile on my face in Jesus' name. I don't want to be that kind of guy. I don't feel like anything good comes out of that. I watch younger preachers that do that and broadcast themselves, and I wish to God I didn't watch them. There's no profit in that stuff, but there's a whole lot of profit in asking God for wisdom and knowledge and how to behave myself in a way that's productive and helpful to the people that I influence. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, look at verse 22. 2 Chronicles 30, 22. Talking about excellency of knowledge. "And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord." Well, there you go. "And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. He spake comfortably unto all the Levites that did what? That taught the good knowledge." Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the Lord. Folks, that's excellent knowledge. That's the kind of knowledge we all should have. You should know God. You should be getting to know God. You should know how He works. You should see His hand. You should see how He works. You should learn by experience, by trial and error, by paying attention, by your prayer life, which we'll be preaching on Sunday morning. We're coming to what they call the Lord's Prayer. You should learn through experience how God works and grow in Him. That's good knowledge, boy. That's knowledge right there that knowledge will never let you down. Exodus chapter 31, I'll show you something else here. This is interesting. I find this real interesting. Exodus 31, look at verse 3. God's talking here about Bezalel, the son of Uri. He says in Exodus 31, 3, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God." Watch it, "in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge." For what? "And in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." Now, how about that? Gentlemen, ladies, do you pray for wisdom on your job? What do you mean? Pray for wisdom on how to be better at what you do. Right there in Exodus 31. You know what's a great testimony when a born-again Christian is the best worker on the job? A fast learner, as fast as you can be. You don't have to be what somebody else is. You don't have to push yourself beyond reality. You have to be filled with the capabilities that God gives you, as good as that can be. God will fill a man with wisdom to do a regular labor job, yes, and then use it for His glory in the temple. Look, it's huge. It's not small. It's huge. It's huge to me when my car's breaking down and I got no idea what's going on, and I'm going to pull it into a shop somewhere and they're going to say, yeah, it's this, 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 that, the other thing, and that, and this, and that, and this, and that, and the other. And that's all it means to me, no matter what they say when they're talking about bearings and struts and whatever, axles or whatever they're saying, wheels. I mean, they're all the same to me. It's like, okay, I think I know what a wheel is, but I could be getting charged, you know, well, that'll be $1,500. It's huge to me to pull it into Todd, and Todd goes, yeah, it's no big deal. I'll knock it out. Hang out here. We'll be done in 20 minutes. That ministers to me spiritually. That's a carnal thing. It ministers to me spiritually. Let me tell you what ministers to me spiritually. When they're talking about elevations and this, that, and the other thing, and I'm like, hey, Dave, brother, they keep saying elevations. To me, I'm thinking of like climbing a mountain or something, so I don't know what that means. Can I approve this? Can you do that? Absolutely. I send Dave, they sent me something to sign. I sent it to Brother Dave. I said, as soon as you say this is good, because I read it all, and I'm like, okay, like one-tenth of that made sense to me, and it's a $5,000 contract. I sent it to Dave. I said, once you say this is good, I'll sign it and send it back. He said, give me a day. I'm going to call the builder. There's a couple things I want to look at about this, discuss with him, and I'll let you know. He calls me, texts me, or whatever, says, preacher, it's good. I sign it and send it back. You say, what's that? Well, that's somebody that has... It's worldly work. But God says, I'm going to fill this guy with this ability and this guy with this ability and this guy with this ability and this guy with this ability. Why? And I'm going to give him wisdom and I'm going to give him knowledge, good knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Worldly knowledge and regular work. For what? Because not only will they use that regular work to support their family, to pay their bills, to go on vacation, to enjoy their life, but they'll also use it to support the ministry. And when the time comes that their skills are needed in the ministry, I'll plug them in to my glory and for the furtherance of the gospel and the furtherance of that work. That's huge. That's huge. You know how much wouldn't have gotten done in this church if God hadn't put men here that could take care of things? I'm not a details guy. I'm literally the guy that will forget to put my shoes on when I walk outside. Because I'm thinking, not because I'm like a genius like Einstein or nothing, because I'm thinking about something else and I'm too stupid to remember. I'm literally like an idiot. It's really a blessing to have details people around me. Guys that are super good at the details. Why? Because I'll forget. If I didn't have her, I'd forget to book hotels and everything else for people. Honey, where are they going to stay? Honey, where did you book the hotel? Did you book the hotel? Did you book the... Yeah, I'm going to do that. Did you book the hotel? The hotels get booked. Things get taken care of. Why? Because God puts details people around me. People that have knowledge and good knowledge and regular practical things in their life. God will use that stuff. That's a blessing to me. I don't know. I mean, whatever. You're probably not getting no joy out of it because it's Wednesday and you got to go back to work in the morning. But ask God for wisdom on your job. Go to the book of Proverbs. God will use that stuff in the long run. Go to the book of Proverbs. Just look at a few verses here and then we'll be done for tonight. A few verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 5. Watch this. Start in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Incline thine ear unto wisdom. It's a choice. And apply thine heart to understanding. It's effort. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, it's zeal. If thou liftest up thy voice for understanding, if there's passion. If thou seekest her as silver, there's focused effort, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You notice the value and the importance of it. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. You know why most people don't know the Lord? I mean, saved people that may be saved but don't have an increasing knowledge of God. You know why? They're not going through the process. They're not going. God's not just going to like bore a hole in your head and dump a bunch of knowledge of God in it. You got to make the effort. You got to want that knowledge. Excellency of knowledge. is what? Something you decide and you set out after and you're passionate about and your heart burns for it and you're crying out for it. That shows prayer. And there's application. I mean, you're actually putting effort into it. It's not easy. It's absolutely not easy. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Just a few more here. We've got about four more verses I'll show you. Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse 10. He says this, receive my instruction. You got to take it. You got to receive it. And not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. I'd rather somebody show me how to make a buck than hand me one. Amen. Oh, here, I'll give you this and you can go sell it. Great, but could you show me how to make one of those? Because if you show me how to make one, I'll sell hundreds. See? What is that? That's you saying, instead of you giving me all the answers, could you show me how to study my Bible on my own? That's wisdom. Knowledge rather than choice gold. Most people don't put it that high in a priority list. Look over at chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy, that's excellent knowledge. Knowledge of the holy is what? It's understanding. You guys realize one thing leads to the next? That's a spiritual growth process. You learn to fear God. And as you fear God, you begin to grow in wisdom. And he says, and the knowledge of the holy. All right, I'm going to set out to know God better. When I was preaching to you this Sunday morning, I don't know how many of you caught it, but I was preaching to you Sunday morning about when I read my Bible, revelation, getting revelation from God. Remember that? I love, thank thee, Father, he's rejoicing in spirit that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, right? The revelation from God. And I was talking about reading our Bibles not with an effort to prove we're right, not with an effort to show everybody else wrong, but in an effort to get to know our Savior better. I was talking about not using the pulpit as my opportunity to shoot at everybody else. Those of you that are called to preach, the time will come, sooner or later, when you'll build up a nice little arsenal of enemies. If you're worth your salt. If you're worth spitting on, some people will wind up hating you. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I hope you're encouraged. Right? Amen. Amen. I judge a man just as much by the people that hate him as I do by the people that love him. You can't preach this book and not build enemies. It won't happen. Not in this world. Study your Bible. So then what the temptation is? The temptation is to stop preaching in such a way as to feed people and help them. The temptation is to start getting in the pulpit and trying to show everybody else where those guys are wrong and you're right. That always gets quiet. Temptation is to start use the Bible to beat everybody else down and to use the pulpit as a place to sit as a sniper so you can just sniper everybody you want to get. And that proves you ain't qualified for the desk you got, and you, by God's grace, God's being gracious to let you stand there, hasn't knocked you in the head yet or killed you, because this thing is a holy thing and he gave instructions on how to use it. And a pastor's job is not to get up here and try to gun at everybody. A pastor's job is to get up here and feed the people the good knowledge of God and preach against sin and preach about what's right, but not to be up here to make myself look good or to justify myself or to prove I'm right. I know I say things that are mistakes. I catch some of my own mistakes after the fact. I woke up at 1 in the morning within the last month, at 1 in the morning, wide awake, like, why did I say that? That was wrong. And I missed, I said Sodom when I should have said Tyre and Sidon or vice versa or something. I don't remember exactly. But I guarantee you everybody else catches it, you know, the critics do. And the devil get in your head. The Bible ain't there for that. That's the devil. The Bible's there so that you can get to know the Lord better, not so you can be right and everybody else wrong. Does that make sense? The Lord's right. See the difference in your mindset, the difference in your approach to it? The knowledge of the holy. Folks, that's what we need to be in our Bibles for, so we can get to know our God better, so we can get to know his will for us better. And then what does that give you? Understanding. Understanding. You can't get the cart in front of the horse. You can't ask for wisdom if you don't fear God first. You got to go through the process. Two more here. Look at Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, look at verse 9. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Well, that's excellent knowledge, isn't it? Man, we moved into the new neighborhood, you know, and we met some of the neighbors, and I expected out of lost people, it's absolutely fine. But boy, we come out, one lady come out and just started giving us gossip on everybody. I mean, and he just got a divorce, and they did, and we hardly ever see them, and they do this, and that's what they, and that's what they, and what about you guys? Nothing? We eat dinner and go to sleep and get up and eat dinner and go back to sleep and get up and... That's going to be the extent of our relationship. Hi, bye. Nice dog. Oh, nice doggy. Yeah, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? Oh, God bless you. See you later. Why? Because we like too much to talk about each other and run each other down. And that really does make us hypocritical. You know why? Because while I see your faults and know all about them, if I'm honest, I got my own laundry list that's so long, it should keep me busy on my knees, confessing and getting right and praying over them and looking for help and memorizing verses. And then when I get the one squared away that I know I got on my plate right now, guess what's going to happen? Closer I get to the Holy One, the more unholy I see that I am, he's going to show me a bunch of stuff like, wow, I lived all my life not even recognizing that as an issue, and now I realize how wicked I've been all this time, but I was too busy trying to take care of all the child's play to deal with this stuff, and now this stuff is much as a challenge to me now as that was back then, just like Brother Joe said Sunday night. How many folks, God's given you a lifelong job of what? Keeping yourself straight. And we're obsessed with Facebook and everybody else's life, and that's why we're miserable. Miserable. Read an article today about the suicide rates, how much they've gone up. The average age they studied was 13, but it was from 5 to 11 was a whole lot of them, and the rates have skyrocketed. And they said, let me qualify that, from 5 to 11, they're noticing a great rise in an area that never was seen before, but that the median age was about 13, but it's in teens and even in adults. But here's what they said about the teenagers. They said a big reason for it is that they're spending about 10 hours a day on their devices. And the influence of social media, and they call it cyberbullying and all this stuff, and the influences of social media and being on those phones all the time, they've got them so tuned out and into that that they're miserable. And then... when they're not on it, it said the parents are so glued to their devices that they're not there to help the kids through their own emotional development and their own problems and face-to-face interaction, so they feel completely abandoned living in great fancy houses and nice homes with good working parents who are holding down a job. And you have no reason to be acting like that. Why are you cutting yourself? You have no reason to do it. It's a scream for attention. And they're so depressed, they're not knowing how to process and work through regular life stuff because there's not even given the basic knowledge of humanity, basic knowledge of human interaction, basic knowledge of how do I deal with this when she made fun of me and she wouldn't sit with me and she was my friend yesterday, but they were talking about me today. And there's no, you go home and mom and dad don't care. My friend at school got mad at me. They're making fun of me online. I don't look like her in all her Instagram pictures. I don't look like them on Facebook. Everybody comments on her stuff, but nobody comments on mine. And they're just zoomed into this world. And let me just throw something else out there. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a psychologist. Here's just Mike Reagan's thoughts. Take them or leave them. 10 hours? Not including school time? 10 hours? That's insane. So, like, let me ask you what kind of quality sleep they're getting. You get 10 hours sitting there on this. Let me ask you about your heart rate. Let me ask you about the circulatory system, how your blood pumps. Your VO2 max, what your body does with oxygen when you breathe it into your lungs. Your dexterity. Anybody know what endorphins are? Yeah, you know how you get them? You know how you get your kids to get them? Say, put down the stupid phone and get out there on that bike. And don't come in the house. I'm bored. Okay. All right, fine, you little brat. Put your shoes on. You're going to run with me. I'm sore. Good. My leg hurts. Well, then it means you're out of shape. Play more tomorrow. You know what they do when they get out there and they breathe and they climb trees? Get out! You're going to die! Let them climb the tree, man. If their kid breaks their leg, it's your fault. You should have watched them better, not mine. Don't blame me. But let them climb the tree, man. Why? It's good for them. They're going to skin their knee. Oh, they're going to get an infection and die if they skin their knee. Just dump peroxide on it, slap some paper towel on it, wrap tape around it, and send them back outside. Amen. You're good to go. Go play. You're fine. You know what? It's good for them. It's good for them. And you know what? It gives them that pleasure sensation, that those endorphins, and they come in happy. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm hungry. Not, I'm hungry because they're bored. And they're back at the stove again because they're bored. Or back at the fridge again. I'm not trying to harp on you. I'm just saying, we're killing them, man. We're killing them. And then we wonder why the suicide rates are dropping. I just wonder how much better off we'd be if we just got rid of this stuff and went back to old school. Amen. Oh, that was free. All right, so let's get to the last verse, Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, look at verse 1. And that battle is going to get worse, by the way. They get addicted to those cell phones. They get addicted to those iPads and televisions. And then when they're little and they're still developing and their brain's wiring that way, there's a lot going on neurologically even. Their brain's wiring that way. And then you wait. Again, I'm not a doctor, so I stand to be corrected on all of it and whatever. I don't care. I'll do my thing. You do yours. All right? But you wait till they're teenagers. Because the temptation and drive to get connected is going to not, it's not going to add, it's not going to double, it's going to multiply. Proverbs 12:1, my soapbox for the night, I apologize. Look at verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction? Nobody. Not nowadays. Don't tell me what to do. Okay, idiot, that's fine. Whoso loveth instruction? I have never raised teenagers before. It's a whole new world. No knock on it whatsoever. Ask every parent who's raised teenagers and it's the same thing. Whole new world. You know what I'm not too proud to do? Hey, I got a question. How would you handle? Got any thoughts for me? I mean, if you got grandkids the age of my kid, I'm all ears, man. I love instruction from the right sources. I appreciate it. I appreciate it so much. I've made enough of my own mistakes. I'm not doing that anymore with the help of God. Loveth what? Knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. There's your bull in a china shop. Breaking relationships, not getting promotions, not getting better, bulling their way through life. Look at verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. Where are they today? But the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. You know, I get around some people and it's like, hi. So how's your church? Good. So what's going on? Nothing. Just staying faithful one day at a time. Why? Because prudence with time teaches you that not everybody that asks you questions or wants to hear about your life is really supporting you. But you know what people love to talk about? Yes, sir. Themselves. So they know that if they start asking you about you, they'll get you to spill your guts, and you're in a generation, and go back to it again, I'm going to avoid the temptation to jump on the hobby horse. You're in a generation that's all about you. Post it, tell it, comment it. Let them all know what you're doing all the time. And he says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge. I'll open up to some people. Sure, of course. Never a preacher ever that made a big impact on my life that kept me at a distance. But I know this, I'm careful about who to and when and where and how and what and why. Why? Because not everybody that's asking and saying, happy for you, They walk away, then you're all heartbroken later that they were, we'll get to it in Ecclesiastes, it's in there. You're all heartbroken later, you find out they were criticized, and you're, what did you expect, man? You do the same thing, don't you? A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. What I want, folks, is the excellency of knowledge. And if I can get the excellency of knowledge, boy, something God will give me. It gives life. It gives life to them that have it. The right kind of knowledge. All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we love you tonight. And we ask you to help us to get the right kind of knowledge. Lord, we need the knowledge of you. We need the knowledge of your book. We need the knowledge of ourself. Too often, God, we don't even know ourselves. We don't even see what we are. We don't even recognize what we're doing. Give us the knowledge of ourself, Father. The knowledge of ourself so that we may correct it, not so we can be self-centered and all that junk. Well, so we can correct what needs to be corrected, and give us the knowledge of you that we can be conformed into your image. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.